fourth only of Parsha Shlach, tragedy that we are still dealing with, the aftermath of the report of the Meraglim, Tisha B'Av, we're still dealing with, but we're hoping that not much longer, we're hoping that by the time this year's Tisha B'Av rolls around, maybe things will be different, and maybe if we study this Aliyah carefully enough and we internalize its message, maybe we can turn things around. So let's hope. Let's pay careful attention for these next few minutes and hope that maybe we can learn the lesson and maybe things will be different. But so far, we've got a lot to learn. So this Aliyah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was extremely upset at what has taken place. Like, Daber Hashem al Moshe v'el Aaron Lamor. So God is very upset and he says to Moshe and Aaron, how long do we have to put up with this? How long does this have to go on? That this evil Edah is going to go on talking Chris, they're making these complaints, these murmurings against me. And perhaps ironically, this phrase, Edah Hara, this evil congregation. So this becomes the source for the notion of a minyan. Eda Hara, the idea of an Eda. So Chazal tell us in a few places, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Ayin Dalet and Mikveis, and also in Megillah, and Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, and also in Brachos, we're working backwards here. It's next year's Masechta, Daf Chof Aleph and Mikveis. The Gemara tells us in a number of places that that's how we know that a minyan is asara, that ain eda b'chusa me'asara, that an eda is no less than 10. It's a little unclear what the nafkamina is on a level of minatora, that here we're deriving this from pasuk and chumash. Most of the applications of the minyan are really for dinim derabana, for kriyas haTorah, for kaddish kedusha, what we call tvarim shekedusha. They're generally dinim derabana. Here we're deriving this from a pasuk and chumash, but in any event, the idea of a minyan is derived from here, and it's a little striking, or a lot striking, that this is derived from this phrasing of Eda Hara, not only from a context which is negative, but one that is explicitly identified in the Chumash with this phrasing of Hara. The Ger Rebbe and others pointed out that maybe it's Dalka to make that point, that even specifically in the context of Rishayim, even there the Shekhinah can be found. Find that earlier in the Sefer Halacha, they Davka make this point. Now the Beis Yosef writes in Archaim in Siman Hey, quoting from the Sefer Amanik and Lagos Maimini and others, and he writes like this in Shulchan Aruch, that you see that an Avarian counts for a minyan, because the source of the minyan is from Avarianim, and the Prima Gaudim argues that maybe this should be only Avarianim with Te'ovon, but as the Kapachaim and others quote from the Rabbaz, that no, you see that here even Lahachis, this is something that the Poskim throughout the generations have discussed, the Yitzian, the Lama B'Hoel, and Ramosha writes a number of Shuvas several times in the Shuvas from Archaim throughout, that even a Machal Shabbos for Hesia counts for a minyan, because we see here that this extreme phrasing of Eda Hara is the source. So these are interesting applications of Lahalacha, but certainly still very striking that this would be where we get it from, and maybe we could suggest that the point is also from a Hashgafic perspective, in order to make the point that we say Meruba Mida Tova Meruba Pranias, that if we can accomplish something negative through the power of numbers, so all the more so, and the power of positivity, is going to all the more so be increased through numbers. And the power of the Shekhinah is going to give it even more intensity. But the truth is, that's not so obvious. That's only going to be Lamal Menateva, because we know that the destructive power is much more readily available, that one can accomplish destruction much more easily than one can build up. A terrorist can do a lot more harm by himself than one can build by himself. And maybe you could argue that that's also the point that as an individual, so yes, you can do whatever you want, and you can throw a bomb and you can do a lot of harm, but as a group, so you dafka have to worry about everyone else, and you become more than the sum of your parts. And maybe that's the point, that as a minion, as a tzibor, then you do become much more powerful and you're able to accomplish a lot. And that indeed, that is a kal v'chomer from an Eda Hara, and that is the power that the Shechina comes to grant to a tzibor, and that's something that's very significant. So the psukim go on to tell us about the consequences that befall this whole population. You see here, Pasuk Kotes talks about everybody being ben Esrim Shana v'mala, and as Rehersh notes that here, that this is the age of people who are of influence, at least the people who should have fought back, and now there's going to be consequences for all these people. They're all going to die out. This whole generation is going to die out in the Midbar. Pasuk Lamed Gimel has this very intense phrase there. So here, so Hirsch also has a comment that this seems to go against the yisod that we have, that the children don't die for the sins of their fathers, or they don't suffer for the sins of their fathers. Here, the Torah is explicitly saying that they will bear the burden for the mistakes. It's an interesting phrasing, is Mesechem, for the defection, the way he translates it, for the misdeeds of their parents. And it's a different way of saying that they bear the consequences. It's not saying that they will be punished, but it's saying that their lives will be affected by what they did. And that's an important yesod as well. And the way Rehersh notes here, that they will learn lessons, that they will have their emunah formed by the experience as it will be impacted by what their parents did. And that's reflective of an important yesod, that even if we say that the principle of justice is such that children aren't punished for the sins of their parents, but there's no question that their lives are formed and affected by the decisions of their parents and by everyone who comes before them. And that's the nature of life, that we're all interconnected and no man is an island. And everything that anyone does has an impact on everyone who comes after them. And that's a part of reality. And that's true for good and for bad. And that's a part of what we have to accept as a consequence of being human. And that has blessings as well as curses, as well as negative consequences. But that's also the challenge and the opportunity. And that's part of the reality. So even though, yes, as a matter of yosher, so there's not going to be a direct onesh to children because of their parents, but there is going to be a formative consequence. And that's what this pasuk reflects. So here he's saying that the experience in the Midbar that is going to emerge from the 40 years now that will be imposed upon them as a consequence of what's happening here is going to affect this next generation. And yes, that is a reality that is going to be the next step as a consequence of what happens here. So here, continues, the pasuk tells us that there is a direct parallelism here, in a sense of mita keneged mita, meaning that we can see how one reflects the other. Mispar hayomim asher tartem es aretz arboim yom, yom l'shana, yom l'shana, tisu asach v'seichem, arboim shana v'idatim v'smuasi. So 40 years, to parallel the 40 days, so we're able to see how one leads to the other. And here, so the pasuk has this phrase here, skip to Lamed Vav, Hanashim asher sholach Moshe al asar es aretz, v'yashuvu, v'alono alav, so this phrase, Lohotzi Dibol Haaretz, so Achokas Rashi in the Ramban, that Rashi writes that language of Lohotzi Diba, Rashi writes Diba could mean either good or bad. Ramban says that's not true. Diba means objectively bad, and that Diba here refers to absolute sheker. It's also a question, it's the difference between false. And the whole notion here of the Avera of Dibas Haaretz, the notion that Meraglim committed a specific Avera that we associate with Lashon Hara, but it's its own category, the notion of Dibas Haaretz. There is a long essay in the Sefer Be'er Miriam, written by Rav David Yitzchak Nan. It's three long volumes. He has many sfarim by that title, and he has three long volumes on Hilchos Melachim. So in Chelek Beis, he has many pages where he tries to explain what exactly is the nature of the Avera of Dibas Haaretz. The Gemara Maseches Erchin and the Sukkos of Lashon Hara, in the middle of Maseches Erchin. So it connects the Avera of Dibas Haaretz to Lashon Hara. That's a Kal V'Chomer. It's interesting because Rashi, in the beginning of our Parsha, has a Kal V'Chomer in the other way, or it sounds like a Kal V'Chomer in the other way, that it sounds like the Meraglim should have learned Kal V'Chomer from Miriam at the end of last week's Parsha, that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, and the Meraglim should have learned from her not to speak about the Aretz. But that's a little bit surprising as a Kal V'Chomer, because you would think that it's worse to speak about the human being who has feelings, and indeed the Gemara in Erchin has it that way, that the Meraglim got in trouble for speaking about the land, all the more so when we get in trouble for speaking about a person who has feelings. But the assumption seems to be that there is a relationship, that speaking about the land is somehow connected to the Avera of speaking about a person of Lashon Hara, and that there's a continuum there of this Avera of the Dibas Haaretz. So in this Sefer Be'er Miriam, he explains that anything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves, for one to disparage that, is a negation of the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, and there is a clear love of Kadosh Baruch Hu has for the land, and therefore there is a mitzvah to be mechaved l'aretz. So for one to disparage the land of Eretz Yisrael is an attack on Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. But of course we understand as well that because Kadosh Baruch Hu has promised the land to the Jewish people, to disparage that promise, to disparage everything that comes along with it, is also an attack on him. So all of that is connected here as well, but this Avera is therefore an attack on Kadosh Baruch Hu, attack on what he himself has conveyed his love for and his promise, and therefore has its own unique aspect to it. So the Meraglim are guilty of failing to appreciate the land itself, appreciate the Kadosh Baruch Hu's promise, appreciate what Kadosh Baruch Hu has displayed his love for, and all of that is its own Avera, and a part of the larger theme of what Lashon Hara itself represents. And the Jews are guilty of Kabbalah's Lashon Hara, and of partaking of that, and are therefore destined to a long galus. And we know that this takes place on Tisha B'Av. Their Kabbalah's Lashon Hara takes place on Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara says, Atem b'chisem b'chia shel daros, ani atem b'chisem b'chia shel chinam, rather, you cried for nothing, ani ekfelechem b'chia shel daros, I will establish for you an ongoing b'chia, a b'chia that's going to last for many, many generations until you're able to correct the course, until you're able to fix what it was that got you in this mistaken direction. And here, this notion of crying and this notion of a tainus that is established on that Tisha B'Av and that we're still trying to fix is clearly a very powerful one, and one that resonates for us in a very personal way and in a very relevant way. And there is a fascinating tension here, and one that speaks to the very nature of sin and humanity and the paradox of sin and righteousness. And there is a back and forth here that is truly fascinating. And there is a discussion that Beis Yosef raises that goes to the very nature of what it means to deal with sin and to deal with the notion of rishus and tzidkus and the potential for tshuva that goes to the very essence of these concepts and is quite fascinating and is quite crucial. Beis Yosef in Siman Tavkuf Pei raises the question that if we assume that the Meraglim die either on Tisha B'Av, or that the Gezerah was that they should die on Tisha B'Av. Somehow Tisha B'Av is connected to their death. So if they were indeed Rishayim, so why should it be that we should be fasting on their death if they were Rishayim? So he suggests that maybe it's because we're fasting because their tshuva wasn't accepted, which is itself interesting because we don't necessarily see that they did tshuva. And Rebbe, the Emory Emes, in fact, suggests that maybe that's the point. Maybe we're fasting on the fact that they didn't do tshuva. Bach actually writes that maybe we're not fasting because of them. We're fasting over the fact that all of us, that all of Klal Yisrael, was punished because of them and because of all of the gezeros that emerged because of their averos and because of the price that all of Klal Yisrael pays as a result of everything that develops because of what happened that day. But it seems like there's more to it than that, and it seems like we can indeed focus on the miraculum themselves. And Magen Avraham quotes from the Shema that indeed they were tzaddikim. And let's not forget that the beginning of the parsha focuses on the status of the miraculum as anashim, as chashuvim, as people of great stature. So there is certainly a tension here that there's no question that they were sent because they were people who were of stature and of chashivas, and yet they're also portrayed as being of Eitzarah, of being people who had a negative tendency and a certain negativity to them. So there is a tremendous tension here, and there is a reflection of the paradoxes within people and the fact that there are forces that contradict each other that exist within all of us and that we are constantly struggling and that we have to recognize that ultimately we have to make choices and that there are consequences and that there is onesh that has to sometimes play out because the decisions that we make affect the tzibur and affect history, and there has to be a price to pay, and that we cry over the impact of that, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to cry, and that we pray for the possibility of tshuva, and we pray also even for the lack of tshuva, when there could have been that hope for redemption. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a number of tshuvas about this in his Tshuvas Aruch Chaim. And he writes that perhaps we are crying on Tisha B'Av because of the reality that people like that didn't get to do tshuva. And he makes reference to that Magen Avraham, quoting that Shema, that they were tzaddikim. And it's a very powerful and tragic idea, just the reality that all of these things could be true at once, that it could be that they were tzaddikim who sinned in a terrible way that had an effect on the entire Klal Yisrael, an effect that had a tragic result that we're still paying the price for all of these many centuries later, an effect that put our whole nation into galus for such a long time. And yet, at the same time, they could be tzaddikim, and we could mourn the loss for their neshamos, and all of these things can be true at once. And that's what it means to be human, and that's what it means to sin, and that's what it means to seek tshuva, and that's what it means to seek redemption, and that's what it means to cry on Tisha B'Av. And that's what we seek to reverse. And that's also what Lashon Hara represents. Lashon Hara can represent that people are complicated and that human beings are made up of positive and negative forces and that nobody is all one thing and that they can do bad things but still be good people and that they can do dangerous things that sometimes we have to talk about and sometimes have to be fixed and have to be corrected. And all of these things can be true at once, and that we can need to have certain decisions made and still cry about them. And Tisha B'Av and Galus can all represent all of this, and all of these things. focus our sensitivities and our consciousness in a way that maybe can help us bring about a different kind of reality. And the end of the Aliyah does, it's not the end of the Parsha, but just for us, it's the end of the Aliyah, it does bring us towards a different place a little bit, although there's more bad stuff before we get there, so just, we only have a few minutes, but we'll just look through the psukim before that. So a lot of bad things that happen in between, unfortunately. So we'll just look through the psukim. V'yamusu ha'nashim, v'osiyei ha'edei v'ha'piv ha'aretz, ra, v'ma'geifa l'fnei Hashem, the people die, v'yashua ben-nun, v'cholik ben-yitina, chayum ha'nashim ha'heim, ha'olchim l'saretz ha'aretz, they survive, the good ones survive. So Moshe relates all this, and the people are mourning. So now they're all confused. Now they're trying to figure out how they fix it. We want to go up. He lost his life. He's not going to succeed. Don't you understand? Now you're not in the right kind of place. Al talu ki ein Hashem bekevuchem. Lo sinagfu lefnei eveichem. Don't go. Hashem's not with you, and don't let yourself get knocked down by your enemies. Ki hamaleki v'hakinani sham lefneichem. Unefaltem bechorev ki alkein shavtem v'acharei Hashem v'lo yiyah Hashem imachem. So you're not the right place, you haven't done the right thing, and Hashem's not going to be with you. We have Pilu Malo Sarosha Har, Baharon Bris Hashem of Osha, Lo Moshu Mikarab HaMachana, but they pushed and they insisted on going up, and the Aron didn't go with them, and indeed, Vayerin Hamaleki Vakrani, Hayoshev, Bahar Ahu, Vyakum, Vyaksum, Ad Hacharama, Ad Hacharma. So indeed, Hamaleki came down and knocked them down, Ad HaKharma, all the way down, and it didn't work out well. And then the parak begins with an Salia, Vayadabra Hashem Moshe Lemor, Adabra Bnei Yisrael, Vyamaret Aleihem, Kisavo, El Eretz, Moshe Losechem, Asher Anin Osei Lachem. When you enter into the land, all of a sudden such a change. Here you're getting your mitzvah, Yasisem, Yishel Hashem, Ola, Uzevach, Lefali Neder, Ogun Adaba, Ogun Adechel, Asos Rech, Nicholach, Hashem, and Habakar, Omen Hatzon, Vihikrib, Hamakrib, Krabanova, Hashem, Mincha, Sola, Sisola, Babu, Revia Sahin, Shaman, Vyayin, Lanesach, Revia Sahin, Tasa, Ola, Ola Zavach, Lekevis Rechad, Ola Ayo, Tasa, Mincha, Sola, Shnei Esronim, Bulula, Hashem, and Shisha Sahin, Vyayin, Lanesach, Shisha Sahin, Takrib Rech, Nicholach, Hashem. So all of a sudden, the Aliyah takes a major turn. So we have this great tragedy. We have the aftermath of the report. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's great anger. We have the declaration of the Zera that they're going to stay in the Midbar for 40 years. We have the Magefa. We have the Milchama that doesn't work out well. And then we have this mitzvah of Nesachim. And Tanta Be'el Yoho says that the Jews are mourning terribly, and Hashem says to Moshe, go comfort them. And Moshe says, how am I going to comfort them? And Hashem says, we divrei Torah. And they end up getting this mitzvah of the Sof. So it's a little bit hard to understand. So Pella, how exactly is this comfort? There's some who suggest that mitzvah involving wine is perhaps an allusion to the pasuk in Mishlei, Tnu Shechar Lo'oved, Yayin Lamari Nefesh, that it's a way of comforting people who are in mourning. But as others suggest, that the association with the Karbonos, and also some of the other mitzvahs that are discussed here, Challah, and the reference specifically to Kisavo, that as you go into the land, so the whole notion that there is a process of tshuva, and that there is a future, and that yes, you have messed up terribly, and you have stumbled, but there will be hope, and even if there will future mistakes, and that's probably what you're thinking right now. That who knows what's going to happen down the line, and our descendants will probably also make mistakes, and will probably also stumble. And what's going to happen to them? And karbonos, aren't those really for shogeg? And what about mezid? And the answer is, well, you see that there is a plan that expects that you will enter the land and you will be bringing karbonos and there will be nesachim and there will be mitzvos that will take place. Mitzvos ha'tfilas ba'aretz. And that ultimately it's going to work out. And that knowing that and understanding that should instill a confidence that there is that potential and that humanity and the Jews have that hope and that we have to be able to find that within ourselves to recognize that that's possible and to put aside all of our short-term thinking and all of our biases and all of the cynicism and negativity and to stop wasting time and to stop letting ourselves get bogged down in hopelessness and in seeing only the short-term picture and hoping that it's not only going to be left to our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and our great-great-grandchildren, but that it should be us and it should be this generation. And even within this Aliyah, we find the whole scope and the whole spectrum of everything. And it should be our hope and our prayer that we should find the inspiration to wake up and to inspire ourselves to recognize what's possible and to focus on what's real. And this Tisha B'Av should be different than all of the ones in the past, and you should no longer have to cry, no longer have to mourn, and you should be able to celebrate in the future. So I wish you inspiring Shabbos, an uplifting Shabbos, and God willing, I'll see you soon.